Anybody else want to ask a question?
The building, I actually think, would be a lot.
How technical the questions are allowed to raise?
Well, I think you can ask any question, and see if anybody knows the answer.
Well, okay, the upstart would foremost with the integration of the ants and the lambdas, and zero noise. So the question is, how unique would this measure is? It's more a question for you.
So maybe you can say, what, how unique?
Yeah, so you had to, there was a formula for the
measure, V, and
Okay, so.
The one for the lambdas you're happy with, it's the one for the.
For the lambdas I'm happy because they're not just unique. For that one, I'm not happy because they don't know what it's unique.
Why would you say unique? What's unique?
Well, the. So this is a product of high-gallon pipes.
Yeah, so
the 4-gallon pipes, right?
You're asking why that combination? Or
yeah, why that combination? Is this?
So, yeah, so it has to satisfy. So, so the ends are not all independent. Okay, so the short answer is, so.
So if you want to reproduce it, if you choose a gauge for the W's, so the W's are the conjugate to the lambda, and they have a gauge invariant.
Mm-hmm.
So you can choose a gauge in which they are just have 11 components non-vanishing.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones can be gauged to zero.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that gauge, it should, of course, be proportional to dw plus dwab with some bunch of lambdas left over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so so the way to guarantee that is that this thing should have certain properties. So, for example, n, so this is w again, and it looks like you have, so SO10 looks like you have 45 of these. So now you're going to have 45 independent of these, but of course that's not true.
Yeah.
They satisfy constraints. So MMN, gamma, and gamma and lambda. I don't know correctly, it's something like J times. This one is certainly three times lambda alpha, some coefficient here. So this measure has to satisfy, tensor has to satisfy constraints. And if you subtract with lambda, it gives you zero.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, that's a pretty neat thing that works. I don't know if that's. The way to see that.
I guess
is,
my question is really the emphasis on the unique. So you show.
So, okay, how do you show? So suppose lambda is pointing just in the plus direction. Lambda is plus zero.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that with that choice of lambda, you can gauge precisely these five away.
Mm-hmm.
There's delta W. There's you can choose all the lambdas in the plus direction here. What you want is that these guys are vanishing unless the NMN.
I think I agree that there's a unique choice if I choose all the lambda, if I make this choice.
Yeah, but then you do Lorentz transformation, and as long as it stays transformed.
Do we want to be getting, I mean, it's having a discussion with, you know, maybe it's easier to
lots of different
people. Yeah. It's just a discussion.
Yeah, but maybe we don't want them distributing.
And we should just get it around the room.
No, yeah, that's
makes sense.
Does it pick up people speaking in the audience?
I think I have mics in the room, but like, they're not loud enough.
I think we don't need to have discussions.
Well, it was my policy.
We'll just take the, everything Nathan says.
Thank you.
Are there also mics in offices?
No, no, if you turn it off, she'll notice because they're mine.
The thing I couldn't understand.
Inside a box or something.
When we gave the, I'm going to turn it off. When we
gave the lecture, how did it adjust itself?
The camera takes a picture of the entire board and you every few seconds. And hopefully that's enough to capture the lecture.
But it actually focuses on what you're writing.
Yeah, actually, so Doug can do that remotely. He was actually interested in the talk, so he was listening and focusing. But if we're going to have more Blackboard talks that he's not going to be at, you know, we could get someone to volunteer. It's not crowded. He said it's not very hard to control the camera. I'll try. I've never tried that.
Oh, I see.
Three quarters.
You've been watching yourself.
So,
hi, Doug.
That's a big brother.
Yes,
so, in any case, yeah, if our ESCO grant, then you know it in a certain frame, then you know it in all frames.
So the point is that the potential, if you pass with that potential with the properties you mentioned,
so just
that is more than one environmental.
If you choose it to be in this direction, then the only thing that contributes here, so these are all, you say that this has, you want to charge 5 tabs, and all of these have that, you want to charge 5 tabs, 5 tabs times 8 gives you 2. Right?
I mean, I agree with this.
No, but it doesn't have so in order to get something non-vanishing, we need all 10 of these. So yeah, the chart plus the mm-hmm. So that means essentially we need to fix this. This has to be NAD or the when you split SO 10 to 5, the vector splits in a 5 and 5 box. It's called E and 5. So these have U1 charge plus 1, these have U1 charge minus 1. So all of these have to be NAD, NCD, or A1, B1. And then there's a unique way to contract them, just you have to use the epsilon to not allow these contracting on these. So it's unique in this that you're doing.
Yeah.
Lambda's point of constraint.
Okay, but if it's Lorentz invariant and it works when it's pointing in this direction, then it's unique.
And lambda is just an SO 10 over U5, so any I can get from this to any other to a spinner by doing SO 10. I mean, it's a constant factor. That's what you're asking.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine.
So, no, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Slightly special case, which I have better at my fingertips. I'm not really an expert at this stuff, which is the Hertzsprung-Riemann-Roth theorem. So for the Hertzsprung-Riemann-Roth theorem, I have some vector bundle over some complex manifold, and I have these notions called Chern classes of the manifold. And then and you can build a Chern character out of this. And then the Hertzsprung-Riemann-Roth theorem says that the or that characteristic of the bundle, so you calculate the alternating sum of the dimensions of the cohomology groups of the bundle, is an integral over the manifold of this Turin class times what's called the top class of F. And this is a really fundamental object in the relationship between K-theory and cohomology, and we all understand that deep rings are somehow related to K-theory. And in fact, people have pointed out that there are ways of formulating the action for a brain coupled to the type 2 A or B superstring, which really reflects the structure in some important way. So I just want to remind you what a top class is. A top class of X means the top class of the tangent bundle of X. And a top class for a line bundle has a formal expression of this nature. So now I think we understand why I'm giving you the story. This struck me immediately when I saw the formula for the vacuum solution. And this has to be somehow related. Seems to me. I don't know how it's related, but it has these. So there's a sign difference, but the sign difference is not crucial. Some conventions arise in different places. And then how do you do this in a tangent bundle? Well, you pretend that the tangent bundle can be written as a sum of line bundles, and then the property that the top class has is that it's multiplicative. So this, the top class of the tangent bundle will either try as easily as I. Over 1 minus minus j, so 1 minus e to the minus j. And actually, if you now write this as a symmetric, in terms of the symmetric polynomials in the lambdas, those service the Turin classes of the tangent. So this gives a sort of prescription for how to calculate. But this is the one that really caught my attention when we looked at a vacuum solution. So have anybody noticed this? Have you thought about this? I mean, in a way, you asked, is there a more intrinsic way of seeing why this had to be the solution? This is what popped out.
Well, if you want, I can give another example of where that expression pops up, which is maybe more closely related.
Okay.
All right, let me write something up. Which is, if you just look at, well, this will happen. So it happens in n equals 1 Yang mills. It happens in n equals 2 Yang mills. But this is maybe just a triviality. Maybe just Bernoulli numbers are never popping up all over the place. But if you look at a transformation law like this, and then you ask, when is the transformation law, say, infinitesimal transformation law for V instead of E to the V, then I don't remember all the signs and junk, but it looks something like this. It looks something like, V over, and then it's one of them is probably either V minus one, and then the other one's either V. So it's something like this, plus say maybe V over one minus E minus. It's something like this. So I don't know if that's closely related. Maybe it hints that somehow you should take the string field and exponentiate it with respect to the star problem. But so maybe this is a very, I don't know, for some reason those exponentials are very common. I don't know.
Does this come up in the solution?
The second thing?
No, I'm afraid I haven't seen the formula. So that's for infinitesimal lambda, or?
Yeah. So it's just some identity that, I mean, you could take it any context that those two equations are related.
So for the superstring field open superstring field theory, that is the gauge transformation of the string field.
Yeah, but not the infinitesimal one, right?
Yeah, no, it's just the infinitesimal version of the. The two are equivalent.
I mean, you did say that the solution was almost pure gauge.
So the way the Barkin relative was. Delta V. Lambda bar plus either the sham.
Well, it was Q lambda and eta zero.
Yeah, okay, so this is equal for Yang mills, this is a chiral superfield. One is anti-chiral superfield, this is chiral superfield. So chiral means that it's annihilated by Q, and anti-chiral means that it's Q of omega and E to 1 omega. So certainly there's a relation between superstring field theory, open superstring field theory, and superhang metals. The zero mode of this is. So okay, so that's in this.
So how do you get the middle form that you see?
Well, that's the one. That comes from, that's probably less than that, correct?
I don't know what's interesting
in that,
and why are you asking me that question?
It certainly is narrow. It must be there, right?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Question is, can anybody other than the authors find the things that
I'm pretty sure it's a one-line derivation. I just don't remember the line.
We just saw the variation.
What?
We just saw the variation of the formula on top.
I really wonder whether these L things, right? I don't know if that's in your book.
Yeah. That's some. You don't need to do that notation. If you just say, if you just take lambda as a column vector instead of being a matrix, then you can just write it as matrix multiplication. Of course, if you take lambda to be a matrix instead, then it's all with multiple commutators and junk. So okay, so those two equations are in different notations. So maybe that's a little bit confusing. But actually, the second line is in the same notation as was used in string theory, in the sense that in that one, the star product was always implied. So here, you could think of the same thing, except it's the commutator that's always implied.
So there was a general formula of something like this, so if I remember correctly.
If V equals E to the power V, then V equals log V. Something to this meaning.
Yeah, this also looks familiar because there's a second way to get this by solving a differential equation that may be the same thing.
So Brandon, what did you wrote, the V acts by adjoint by commutator?
Yeah, right.
So in Dave's question, lambda is a closed form, right?
Yeah. And K is a closed, is a BRST invariant string field, so they're both kind of closed forms.
That's right. I mean, you can think of lambda as field strength for some of the engaged field. And that makes this formula somewhat reminiscent of that formula over there.
What was K again? Pardon? What was K again?
K was left part of a derivation.
It commuted with Q.
Yeah.
He was built out of the ghosts.
Energy mass transfer.
Well, are these mathematical formulas somehow very special for Chern-Simons, or?
I'm not sure what you mean exactly.
Well, the string field theory is sort of Chern-Simons-like action that's what we're solving, just trying to tie some of the symbols to things that may be familiar.
So the right-hand side of listening with.
Yeah, but that's not the one Martin who's been solved.
Yeah, but they're related. I mean, it's one keeps saying.
Solutions for this witness stream field theory, right? I mean, that which Barton reminded us several times doesn't really exist. So, I mean, is there a stubbly version of this solution? Can you translate something in witness theory into something in sub theory?
Presumably, you could. I don't know. The stub theory that exists, that is safer for closed strings, is some sort of field redefinition of the rhythm theory. So perhaps you could carry that field redefinition on the solution, but nobody has made this clear or said whether it looks tractable or how does it change.
Although the stubs are pieces of propagator in the standard frame, so it would be more natural to start with the Siegel gauge solution. Mm-hmm. And this,
yeah. So maybe we need a stub version Schnabel gauge.
If you don't have stubs, is it clear something goes wrong, or is it just possible something?
No, that had been a very murky thing, but as far as I know, the status remained that if you try to see if this action solves the master equation of Batarin and Velkovitsky, which is necessary for consistent quantization, Thorne tried it in his physics report, and he said, no, it doesn't, and they're singular terms, and I'm not sure how to solve this. And the status more or less remained there. Nobody knows how to do this well, or nobody has tried hard enough.
The fact that the same conjecture works so well, does that mean that there's probably something?
Well, it's a classical statement about the classical tension of a D-brain in bosonic string.
What is the problem exactly? Can you?
Well, exactly. Well, you know, I don't remember too much of the details, but I have to say the mind of Mr. Flavor, we have a master equation of Batarin and Velkovitsky. So any action that is supposed to be consistent and has a consistent quantization will satisfy this equation. But this is a second order operator, essentially derivative with respect to fields, derivative with respect to anti-fields. And this is the bracket in field anti-field space. So when you take Witten string field theory, phi q phi plus phi cubed, you find that this thing satisfies S equals zero. And that's saying that basically the classical theory is H-invariant, and the classical theory is okay. Nevertheless, delta S is apparently different from zero, and it's singular. And the delta S basically takes the action and differentiates with respect to fields and anti-fields, which, you know, these are some indices, and these are I and I bar singular, some basis over here. Now, when you compute this delta on this action, the quadratic term is no problem, it's zero, delta of this term. But delta of psi q, delta of phi q, is non-zero, and essentially is taking the cubic vertex and differentiating two lines and joining them together. So it basically is computing, oops, I shouldn't name this, but basically is computing a tadpole graph in which you have a cubic vertex and you glue it together. And you glue it together without the propagator. So actually, if you want a picture of this, this tadpole graph is this, if you have a wooden vertex, a time t, here is the time t that is propagating this thing. I'll do it like this. So that's this thing, this line is this one. I followed this train like that. So basically, this delta phi q is computing this in the limit as t goes to zero, and as you can imagine, that is exactly where closed trains get produced. So you have closed trains going into the vacuum, and these terms have to be divergent and a little unpleasant.
This is the same problem even in quantum field theory. This data theory, if it's always singular.
Well,
don't say that the Young-Mills doesn't exist because of that.
Well, but then you know how to fix that problem. It's a mathematical problem with the renormalization and things like that. Here it's a little more serious because it's physical closed strings going into the vacuum. So, as far as I can tell, nobody has solved this. Now, the solution that... I said in a funny way that in a sense the closed string field theory is much safer than the open string field theory in this way, because in closed string field theory you put extra little, you already have a non-polynomial theory, so instead of having a vertex that is just joining three strings like that, you can put a little piece of surface to this, just called stubs, which would be the analog, instead of saying in Witten's theory that three strings interact like that, would be to add a little piece of surface. And in closed string theory, since it's non-polynomial, you don't care too much that this will make a theory will still be non-polynomial, maybe even a little less natural, but non-polynomial. But by the time you compute the delta S, the great advantage is that when, if you have this and you now close it up with a zero-length propagator, you get a regular Riemann surface. So this term is finite and well-defined, and then you can change the action by adding quantum terms. And all this equation holds without regularization, without anything, holds on the nodes. So in the case of the open string, if you put this little extra pieces of surface again, then you now form, now your vertex is here, has a little piece of surface. When you close this, it's a regular surface. This term is non-zero, but now you try to fix it because it's calculable. The difficulty of this is that this is a singular limit, and as far as I can tell, people may try to regulate it in some ways or another, but nobody has done a clear and convincing job.
In which way it is singular?
Well, it's a singular Riemann surface. You're at the end of the moduli space. This is conformally equivalent to an annulus. There's two boundaries, the boundary here and the boundary here. And when this becomes zero length, this is going to an annulus that has a very tiny little hole here. So it's the end of the moduli space, the close to an end of the moduli space. And so, you know, we were having a discussion yesterday. Whenever I've talked to mathematicians, whenever you talk to physicists, people like the Witten string field theory very much because it's associative, it's a little easier to treat. But if you talk to mathematicians, they like this one much better because it's more well-defined. No singularities and things like that. And with this thing, you have homotopy associative. The multiplication is not associative. So you have A star B star C minus A star B star C. There is again a fourth product. In the case of closed strings, this was Li, but here is just associativity. So there's something like A, B, C minus plus Q, A, B, C, the failure of this thing to be a derivation. Again, so you just keep fixing it. And so if you're trying to answer the question, what is the space of string fields, and you think you must restrict it so that it's associative, and it's been always very subtle to know where to stop the string field in order to make products associative. If you have homotopy associativity, product associativity is not disappears, and it's sort of not that relevant, and perhaps it's been very misleading. But there's a tension here in which somehow the regular, safe version of the theory at this moment looks a lot less tractable than the somewhat singular one.
Do these theories depend on the size of the stubs?
Yes, the off-shell theory depends on the size of the stub. There's a minimum length that you must put the stub in order to get a nice cell decomposition of moduli space. But so you can change the length of the stub, and these are equivalent theories up to field redefinitions. And so the theory with stub and without stubs, so at least at the classical level, they're just simple field redefinitions. But at the quantum level, they have different completion.
So the Witten theory is nice because it looks like a Chern-Simons action. Is there something like a Chern-Simons action that you can build out of the non-associative? Is there a natural, simply natural structure?
Well, I don't think so. It just doesn't look any more like, in Chern-Simons you cannot put more fields because it's three forms and you're done. But in here, you would just put more things, and there's no problem. So, if there would be some sort of A infinity version of Chern-Simons, I don't know how that would look. But certainly, mathematicians don't talk about Chern-Simons, of course, in this language, but they feel A infinity is as natural or more natural than associativity. So, it's a strange situation.
So is this a property of the star product or the BRST charge that the homotopy associated with the condition holds? I guess it's not generic for any non-associative algebra that there exists some Q that and some three bracket that
right. If it's generic non-associative, that's not obvious that you can do it. Yeah, there's something, of course. I think if you have a given non-associative algebra, there are conditions under which such a homotopy can exist, and might not be very general, might not exist in general, but in string theory we know it always exists. It's sort of the here is the fact that S channel and T channel, if you are to cover the moduli space of a disk with four punctures, so you put a puncture on the real line, a puncture here at one, say one, two, three, and four, you put at zero, you put the first puncture P1. At 1, you put the third puncture, P3. At infinity, you put the last puncture, P4. And the second puncture has to go from here to here. And S channel produces some part of it. T channel produces another part of it, near another degeneration. And in the case of Witten associativity, the fact that they together fill it. And but if you put the stub, the propagators don't manage to do all the work, so they cover less, and the missing region is the homotopy.
How do I see that?
Sorry?
How do you see that?
How do you see that? It's the fact that the four-point interaction is going to supply the rest. So it's going to be an integral over moduli space, and Q acting on it, on the four-point interaction, is going to go to the boundary of that region. So it produces this edge, and this edge, and these two configurations are these two points, so you match boundaries. And in the case of closed strings, it's the blackboard is full, but it's more like this. You have a puncture at zero, a puncture at one, and a puncture at infinity. If three channels, so this is four punctures here, one puncture here, one puncture here, one puncture there, and the last one moving around. If you were to produce a perfect cell decomposition of moduli space, it would look like S channel producing all this region, T channel all this region, and U channel all the region away. And this would be the three terms in the Jacobi identity, A, B, C, plus CAB equals zero would be the perfect matching of these three regions. But that was apparently a theorem, or sort of a theorem, that in reality, however you define a vertex, you get a region here, you get a region here, and you get the exterior of some region here, and you have to produce the middle thing, and that's again the C. So in the case of the closed strings, there was no way to produce a cover of moduli space, and you need the homotopy to fill the hole between the three final diagrams. And so, again, you know, anything that is not quite a Lie algebra may not be possible to write as a homotopy Lie algebra. But somehow, in the case of strings, it is possible. And
if you multiply two photons, what do you get?
if you do a star product with two photons, you're going to get lots of infinite number of string fields. Just like Martin is doing multiplication of two vacua, you get the vacua infinitely many descendants. So star multiplication of two photons states is going to give you presumably something that goes number two, some sort of dual photon, a dual version of a photon that goes number two, and all kinds of
things. No, there can't be photons. You'll have local oscillators, you'll have two Lorentz indices. There will be some symmetric tensor and some scalar and...
Then there are two tachyon end.
Why can't you get a momentum contracting one of these?
It will be the sum of the two momenta.
That's right.
Which should all be collinear then, because...
But do you can deal with momenta not collinear?
No, the momenta can be arbitrary, just the star product adds the momenta. Just imagine you take a stay. Forget about star product. Just take a vacuum and act on it with two vertex operators for a photon.
Yeah.
It's nothing like a photon again.
It's a dual. Why don't you? Why it's not?
Why do you say dual?
Well, it has Gauss number two, so it should be anti-field as well.
Yeah, so your CDX.
Yeah, okay, so you can do all PE into that axis.
Well, dx with one of the k's, with one of the e to the ik dot x.
Yeah.
That leaves one dx.
Yeah.
But two c's.
Not this, no dx, because a cubic interaction of the Fabian photon bunches. Right. So for P of B and dx doesn't produce dx term.
No, but dx is. So not zero momentum, so you have C, dx, e to the ik dot x.
Yeah. I'm totally lost what you guys are saying, but isn't there an FQ term in open string theory? So isn't that enough to...
It's zero on shell.
Why are we talking on shell? And why is it zero on shell? I don't understand anything.
Because if it's homotopy algebra, but if you put on physical states, it should be usual Lie algebra, so...
Well, it's not Lie algebra for open string.
Associative. It should be usual associative, because this precisely means that on good homology you have usual associative algebra. So I'm just wondering what kind of associative algebra you have on physical states. Can you take two photons, multiply them, and do something?
F cubed term is F cubed on shell. I don't see what's wrong with that.
What is it? Oh, F cubed.
You just contracted dx with an EBIK delta.
Okay, if you star multiply two things, two photons, you get an element of the Hilbert space that has two vertex operators acting on the vacuum.
Yes.
And if you do the OPE between the two vertex operators, you find a scalar and you find a symmetric tensor. Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
But then the dx will be contracted with k, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Was it a star product?
Yes, right? Yes. You see, this contains a photon component. So, yes. Okay. So, we need to take a division contact contraction with this guy. So, we start with this one. But this function, right? This was say one function, which dx, cdx, into that direction, cdx, into the okay, here's some conformal factor for size. Now the dx is here.
So we can contract this in that k dot x.
Yeah,
but there will be some plus k plus k3 that has to vanish. Major
sounds. Okay, so the contraction
is the delta function by momentum conservation k1 plus k2 plus k3 must vanish. Yeah. And if you do the contractions you are suggesting, if you contract one del x with some into the kx, you pull out
k
down all three k's.
On shell, this gives on shell. So higher derivative, maybe higher derivative correction can be punished.
But can I just answer your previous question? So I think you haven't done the contraction properly. You look at one term.
Okay.
You can contract the other del x, then this is the other k. So you get k1 plus k2. So this would be like a photon with polarization that is proportional to its momentum.
Only advantage is if you kind of deal with the theory, you sum over both orders, right? But that's not what's going on.
Yeah, okay, for non-abelian, yeah.
Yeah, for even for abelian, maybe. For non-abelian, it's an advantage.
For abelian, the star product of two photons has zero overlap with photon. For non-abelian, that's not true.
So if k squared is non-zero, it's non-vanishing.
Well, so the question was unsure.
Was it?
Yeah, your question was about unshell photon.
Yeah.
I think it's not vanishing in either case, but certainly in case squared is not zero.
Useful if Pierre could summarize tensor structures of tree and group entities.
Which term are you asking?
You mean the
result?
What do you mean tensor structure?
Like a momentum or polarization or something.
You mean the yes. Oh, he wants the index structure.
Yeah, the actual D1.
Okay.
First thing. Suppose you something.
That's okay, whatever.
You don't
just want to arc the fourth index and see that.
Get the ATA from your spinner.
So do you want to see what the aircraft from the casino, or do you want to see? Because, what do you want to make?
Final answer, maybe?
Okay. The final answer is what you want to do with your spinner. Okay, so, but, so there's the key on the aircraft. So I'm sending the key. So you can ask the question whether this is going to happen to you. So we move on. So what would be the form of the forward return of the tree, the type to string in genus of that? So what you find is that it depends exactly what you do. So if you do the earnest approach, what I mean is that In that kind of computation, only the even string structure set are contributing. There's no way you can get the odd string structure set to contribute. Because the odd string structure set are from the formal amplitude, and it's just the one shape.
I'm sorry, you're talking about three little bit higher here?
Yeah.
On the right hand side. Using RNS, is it possible to compute three little bit higher? I mean, even.
Three
is okay. Three little bit higher. Cannot use RNS?
No, but I mean, what you can see is that you can look. And first, she was going to work on the theory, the tensor structure in terms of the origin of the cells. The other one is that when you, from free loop, but the problem is that you could get contribution from the first constructing center where you get contraction between the two changing operators. So it seems that you could generate some terms that have a different tensor structure than the one that you have to deliver on. So, but if you use the pure spinner form, then you can consider Earth to genus four or five. There's no contraction from possible contraction from the GS that would come from the issue. So certain things, so you expect that the leading contribution to the amplitude for the return amplitude in tech means the tensor structure will be the same way. At some point, you are not sure whether or not for the term. I don't know the argument in 10 dimensions that shows that if I divide the James G amplitude for the return amplitude, but the three-level one that all the polarization dependence will be cancelled.
There is an argument.
And how do you mention that? Do you have an argument?
So this is Malthus, Baldwin Malthus standard.
Okay. For any professor, I'm sorry?
For any maximal supersymmetric theory, so polynomials and, so this is n equals 8 supergravity or d equals 10 supergravity, whenever it's maximum. Yeah. So the argument is that the number of massive states is equal to the number of massive states in the multiple is equal to the square of the number of massive states. So for example, for supernumerals, a massive multiple has 64. Or the massive says 8 plus 8, so a massive, I don't know, 8 plus 8 squared. And same for supergravity. So you can show that the S matrix of 2 to 2 scattering is uniquely determined with polarizations. Mm-hmm. So there's only one way to contract the polarizations in a supersymmetric way. So that's how you explain the T8 out of the fourth always comes in that combination.
Mm-hmm. Even for high order, go all over.
Yeah. So I don't know how to prove this using string theory, but just using this general argument, it must be true.
The L loop quantity divided by the tree has no dependence on the polarization. That, okay. Suppose the argument is correct. But, the way to prove it by doing a string computation, what you can do by inspection on the pure spinner form is that the worry that you could have is start from juice. So what I learned is that if you use the pure spinner computation and use the zero mode saturation that you have start again with the vector, but the finding that the object in A over the object in B. So the integration around the middle line. Times some quantity that will be and then there is some part of the momenta that will be exactly 2j, so that's the and then there is also that cut off on the some more things that depend on the modular and the position of the latex operators. So this is what gives that the meaning of the time if you want to limit of the probability conjugate amplitude starts as a and that is a consequence of the general situation that you get from the 15 of mine. Yes, but the expression will tend to be to give you all the theory here, it's not to the table because it's essentially a condition on UST invariance and invariant of but you cannot write
Carlos Mafra is the one who showed that these are equivalent, the LDTs, and you have to do manipulations in the law, removing the RST trivial things, and so it's not still obvious.
There should be something else.
I mean, the Grossman width and for the relation was very simple, and it's half a page, you can see it almost immediately.
This is
No, I did the one loop, it's okay, three levels more complicated. One loop was very simple, you use light point.
No,
it was
magenta.
Yeah, sure.
Then you have to kind of variant
type. Yeah, sure.
So I think it's only nine trunks.
I think this is the easiest way to do it covariantly. I've never seen any other way to get it covariant.
But you say it's a certain amount of manipulation before you use this.
Yes. You can try to ask yourself, I mean, what can you write at this level for something that has three lambdas that can expect as many times on the field of invariant particles, but here it has to be depending on the field strength. And what can you have for fields? So it looks like maybe you could get maybe some unicity from the tree in one loop and the two loop. But I mean, I'm not sure if there is enough. If this is enough just to say that.
I wouldn't think there is a unique answer to this problem.
That's, in a sense, you see, when you see that there is a set of invariants, I mean, and then there are afraid to do it, I mean, since it's something to contribute to the calculative part of the calculative action. So you want that, for example, you believe that you can relate, let's say, to the invariants, some other derivative term in the problem. Function to some higher genus contribution, they can have the same tensile structure. So, certainly, there are good reasons to show that the form of the kind of object is formed.
You can ask property?
Yes.
That could be a different expression multiplied by an invariant with each other. The environment rather than connect.
Thank you.
We have a general question. For both the true spinners and the string fields, are there sort of a list of technical problems people have in mind as the next things to solve? And maybe different people have different lists, but worth writing this down on the wiki.
Okay. Well, there are two ways you can go. Either you can try to do things, new things that haven't been done before, or you can try to fix things with things to fix. Okay, so Pierre mentioned at the end, so that these poles with lambdas, that it would be nice to get a better way to deal with them. So another thing that hasn't been done yet that I think should be done is show equivalence. So in Lycombe gauge, you should be able to show equivalence to the Lycombe Green Schwartz. So this was done, for example, with RNS and bosonic string, and it should be possible, but and that would give a proof that the theory is independent.
Again, you don't have to answer now, but if you'd like to write these down, put them on a wiki. We have these five different segments, you know, pure spinner, string field theory.
Oh,
okay. If each segment had a list of, not necessarily deep questions, but what to do.
Yeah.
I think that's a good topic for discussion, but we should prepare ourselves a little better for that. Make a serious list and with some content in it rather than say a few words. For the next discussion, maybe we could talk between several of us and prepare a list for. Next discussion.